started tonight in the Sardesian church age here in Revelation chapter 3. And let's just pull it from the scripture here, Revelation 3, verse 1 through 6. And we'll be discussing tonight this topic on the salutation. Revelation 3, verse 1. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." And just so that you know, tonight we're focusing really on this verse and a portion of it. Where we're really going to dig into the seven spirits of God. So this is the salutation or the greeting to this church. "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Verse 4, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All right. Kind of some review from, you know, what we did on last week, and just kind of going through the seven churches. The key thing that we want to bring out here is that these churches did exist in Asia. They did exist, but the thing about these churches is that they had characteristics in them that would reflect a future age, and we're kind of trying to pick up those characteristics in our next slide here. This age here is number Sardis right here. This is where this church existed, and as you can see, the scripture says, "The mystery of the seven stars, which I saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." So we are dealing with Sardis here, which is laying here on the map. All right. The age here where, let me just get something here. The Sardesian age lasted from 1520 to 1750, and it was called the Age of Reformation, which I think is very, very critical to where we are even today. When we just kind of get to just kind of thinking about what really took place, and like I mentioned to you all on last week, Luther being the messenger to that age and what he did. Luther taking the 95 Theses and nailing it to the Catholic Church door, that actually opened up some opportunity for, hate to say it, but it opened up the opportunity for like more denominations. Not that we needed more denominations, but what happened before that, if you were not Catholic, you were going to die. That's pretty much what was going to happen. But when Luther came forth with his teachings and things like that, there was just seems to be just like God lifted up the spirit where people weren't killing people for because of their faith. They were actually a little bit more open to allowing people to express, you know, just some other views on scripture. And even to this point where we are right now, you know, for us to express what we're expressing is because of that door that opened up during the Sardesian church age. That's what even allows us to do the gather the way that we gather even right now. So we thank God for, certainly thank God for this age. So 1520 to 1750 is when it occurred. Some of the other things here in that city, we brought this out on last week. The capital city of Sardis was the ancient Lydia. The city was at one time very important commercially, very important city. Brother Branham brought that out to us. It was said that gold coins were first minted here. Gold coins were first minted in this place, Sardis. Gold coins being first minted there. Another thing here, the city was desolated by earthquakes and plagues, and thus it is uninhabited. It's a heap of ruins today. All right, and finally, the thing that I want to bring out is they had a religion in that city where they worship. It was impure worship of the goddess Cybele. And we were bringing out last week how Cybele was supposed to be the mother, and her son was Dioeus. And what happens is that Cybele began to get a little bit more worship than her son Dioeus in this church age. So the characteristic that we see there in that church age and how it reflects in the church itself is that Mary began to get a little bit more worship than Jesus, right? And I think that's still the situation today, especially in the Catholic Church. Mary is she gets a little bit more. And I think I heard somebody say that what son would not honor his mother by doing whatever she asks? What son would not honor his mother? So they put Mary a little higher than Jesus. However, according to scripture, Jesus never actually called Mary mother. You can't find one scripture where he did that. And so, you know, what people are coming up with nowadays and what they've been standing on for a long time has been completely wrong. But you never see one time where Jesus called Mary his mother. Brother Branham told us that she was the incubator that just brought forth, you know, the body of Jesus, you know, but she was not the mother of Jesus, because God himself cannot have a mother or a father, right? So, all right, let's go on a little further here. We were bringing out some of this. Something happened this week. I want to bring this back up because I just showed this last week, that slide. And when I showed it, it was a quote where Brother Branham said, let's look at these side by side. And so when I saw the quote there in the Church Age book, I said, well, I want to list it side by side here on the screen for everybody just to kind of get a view of. And, you know, when I did that, I had no idea that I was going to get this book delivered to me this week. Well, I bought it. Brother George Smith, Brother Branham's son-in-law, actually put the Church Age book in a leather-bound, almost looked like a little Bible, but he put it in a leather-bound as a 50-year celebration, you know, of the Church Ages. And when he put it, he turned to the page where this statement was made. He said, well, Brother Branham said, let's list it side by side. So in this book, he actually listed it side by side. And I say, well, what a confirmation. You know, I really appreciated seeing that. But what I want to just kind of bring out here is that Dioeus, as we look here on this side, Dioeus, he was the sun god. But Cybele, she was the moon goddess. All right? He was the lord of heaven. She was the queen of heaven. He, the revealer of goodness and truth. She, of gentle and mercy, the revealer of gentleness and mercy. He, the mediator, she, the mediatrix. He, with the key that opens and shuts the gates of the invisible world, she, with an identical key, doing likewise. He was the judge of the dead, she standing at his side. He being killed, raised, and ascended into heaven, she carried there bodily by the sun. And what Brother Branham brings to our attention says, now in Rome, the same God has given the title of our Lord. He is called the Son of God, while she is called the Mother of God. So, you know, some of the things that they were bringing forth in the Sardesian age and some of the characteristics there, we're seeing that has also just been kind of flowing all the way through to even to this age in the Catholic Church. Let's go on a little further here. I'm having a little problem with my technology, so I'm going to have to just do this this way. So the key thing that we want to try to get everybody to see, the reason that the characteristics that we're pointing out here in Sardis, the city of Sardis was known for the worship of the female deity by the name of Cybele. And at one point, Cybele and Dias were worshiped together, but by and by, in the city of Sardis, it came to the worship of Cybele alone, leaving the worship of Dias out completely. And I believe we are really in the same spot again. We're seeing that all over again, even in this day. It's all about Mary and not about Jesus. It's not about Jesus. If we were to even think about this season that we're in, Christmas season, Christ has been completely moved out. You all see people where they have, it used to be Merry Christmas, now it's Merry Xmas, right? And when you see the X, Christ has completely been taken out of the picture. Now, we know by revelation that it was never his birthday in the first place. We know that by revelation. But for the church world, those that have no idea of those things, if they were just to look at just basic things like that, they can see Christ is no longer even in the picture anymore. Completely removed. You know, I was talking to somebody this week, and you know, they were saying, "So y'all having service on Christmas Day?" I'm like, "Yeah." I mean, I didn't even think about canceling church, and I'm thinking, I say, "Well, whose birthday is it anyway?" I mean, you know, who would have it's their birthday and you don't show up for the party on their birthday? Something wrong with that picture, right? I mean, so if it, you know, it's like, he's just no longer in the picture anymore. You know, it's really a shame of what we see that has happened, but these spirits were released way back in the Sardesian age, and we can see full manifestation, full-blown manifestation of it here today. Also, why is it important to this age? It's because as time went on, the Catholic Church began to focus on the worship of Mary and getting further from the worship of Jesus. These are some of the key statements and scriptures that were made in our reading as we were going through the salutation. I love some of this. Brother Branham says, God's ministries are not in the power of men, but of the Holy Ghost. God's ministries are not in the power of men, but of the Holy Ghost. He also said this. Paul set the church in order and taught the proper use of the gifts of the Spirit and confirmed that they were to remain in the church till Jesus came. Now, when I saw that, I said, Lord God, everything that you promised in the Bible, we want to see that in the church. Everything you promised. The good thing about this statement is that Paul taught how it's supposed to be done in order. And I think what has happened over time, because things got out of order, people just got away from the gifts. But no, the gifts are supposed to be in the church until Jesus comes. Right, so we should not be looking for anything less. If they had it on at Pentecost, we should be looking for the same thing right here. These are the results that the Spirit of God is supposed to produce. The gifts are actually in the church in order to help keep the church in order. That's what gifts are for. It helps keep the church in order. And I tell you what, like I remember coming up, especially in the Pentecostal church, gifts was all over the church when we were coming up. Sin was in your life, you didn't know who might find that sin. You didn't know who. It could be some mother in the church, could be the pastor, could be, you didn't know who was going to find it, right? And but they would deal with it. They did what they call pray you through. You was going to get rid of that sin, or you weren't going to be coming back no more, you know, because the reason you wouldn't come back is because you wouldn't want to be embarrassed, right? That's kind of the way it was. But those gifts, man, they kept the church pure. And that's what they're supposed to do even right now. Now, I think even gifts nowadays, you know, people want to use the gift to pronounce blessings. Well, that's not you know, you're not going to get a blessing all the time, especially if sin is in your life, right? You can't expect that to get a blessing, right? But the thing of it is that people have misused the gifts. But Paul set the church in order and taught the proper use of the gifts of the Spirit and confirmed that they were to remain in the church until Jesus comes. The church, I'm putting emphasis on it because that's what I pray for. That's one of my expectations. That's one of the objectives. That's one of the goals. That's why I worship in spirit and in truth. Amen, church. I'm looking for the whole package, not just part of it. I welcome it. And we know that it's not supposed to be out of order. That's why, you know, I even say when we have our prayer time and we come here at 7 o'clock prayer meeting, man, if them gifts get loosed in that prayer, they are welcome. They are welcome at a time like that. What Paul taught us that when we come together in a meeting like this, that's where, you know, maybe the gifts don't go forward right in the middle of somebody preaching or teaching. That's not how you do it. But we all sitting around praying and, you know, just you know, calling out on God. If you got a gift, you ought to be in the prayer time. You, Brother Branham said, come early before everybody got there. Guess what? That's coming early. Come in, get in prayer, let God speak. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe if God gave somebody the gift of speaking in tongues, he also gave somebody else the gift of interpreting. I believe he did that. I think sometimes we just get fearful. And we get afraid to just surrender ourselves to God and just allow God to do what he want to do. That's what I think happens, right? We you know, God said in the word 365 times, fear not. Don't get afraid of God. I mean, let's welcome him. Jesus, you're welcome in this place. Look, he also say this, bring this out. Seven spirits of God, it was spoken of four times in the book of Revelation, and that's Revelation 1:4, Revelation 3:1, Revelation 4:5, Revelation 5:6. We'll get into that a little bit later. The seven spirits actually referred to one spirit of God working out the will and word of God in different generations. So when we look at this in Scripture, when we talk about the seven spirits of God, it said, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. We're talking about actually one spirit that's actually manifesting itself in different generations. It's the same spirit manifesting itself in different generations. Look at this. Any people that is truly the body of Jesus Christ, the true church, will manifest the same works as did Jesus. I like that. Any people that is truly the body of Jesus Christ, we heard that on Sunday. If the head make it in, right, if the head make it in, the body has got to be coming. You ain't never seen going across some finish line just the head of somebody, right? The body's got to be connected to that head, and it's got to be coming somewhere. So whatever you've seen happen with the head, the body has to follow, right? So if we see these things, and I mean, Jesus himself spoke in tongues. Y'all know that? Jesus spoke in tongues. Even on the cross, you see where there was a statement made, Eli Sabachthani. That was tongues. That was tongues, right? So, I mean, if Jesus himself did it, why can't we? Praise the Lord, church. Amen. Glory to God. I'm under expectation, Lord. You know, sometimes God gets so good to you. Your one language ain't good enough to praise a man. You know, you need a little bit more to praise a man. So I tell you what, I'm just under expectation, church. That's me. And I'm going to keep talking about it and harping on it until I see God manifest himself the way that he promised to manifest himself. Amen. All right, let's go on. Any other church that does not have the Spirit and the manifestations is going to have to account to God. That means if we don't have it here, we have to answer to God. Now, I don't want to answer to God saying that we couldn't get this done. But I also don't want to go to God and say we just created something and made it happen. What I want to do is teach it. And keep everybody under expectation, because this is what the the New Testament church is supposed to have. Right now, what happens is that there's some churches, all they did was focus on the tongues. That's it. We talk about all nine gifts: wisdom, knowledge, tongues, interpretation, gifts of healing. All of that's supposed to be in the body. Oh, my. Oh, Lord, help me. You know, I think I told y'all about the sister that was a part of a church down in Miami. She just felt led to go into hospital rooms and pray for people that had cancer. That was her ministry. She would go with her husband. They would go and just pray for people that had cancer. And sometimes what I believe happens is that you go through certain things in your life and you begin to develop feelings, you know, for other people that might be going through the exact same thing, right? So if she's overcome cancer, then she gets a feeling, you know, she's touched by the feeling of somebody else's infirmity, and she wants to go out there and pray for them that, you know what, I want to encourage. If God did it for me, God can do it for you, right? Sometimes we just want to wait for, you know, pastor, go by and pray for him. No, you pray. You go by. You know why? Because these signs are supposed to follow them that believe. Not just the pastor, but everybody in the church is supposed to be able to do that. Glory. God going to hear your prayer? Trust me. I know he will. I know he will. Amen. I don't mind going, but I want to make sure you went to pray too. And I want to hear the testimony behind it. All right. Last one is if the world takes over, the spirit departs. Those are some key statements that we read here. All right. Let's go on here as we get into this, the salutation. There in Revelation 3:1, just a portion of that scripture says, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God." Now, if you have your Bible, I'm going to read four places right there in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:4. Let's read that. Revelation 1:4. Brother Branham said there was this statement about the seven spirits was actually made four times in the book of Revelation. So Revelation 1:4 says this, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne." That's the first place we find it. Revelation 3:1 is the next place we find it, where it says here, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast the name, that thou livest and art dead." Revelation 4 and 5. Let's read that. It says this, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Now, on that scripture right there, that scripture, Revelation 4:5, Brother Branham was preaching a sermon. I can't think of the name of the, but it was a sermon, I think, on the book of Revelation. I forget exactly what the title of the sermon, but there was a statement made when he was focusing on that scripture. And the statement that I grew up in the message, hearing it all the time, but the statement was made, what Jeffersonville needs is thousands of live voices thundering out in sweetness and humility. Well, Brother Branham made that statement based on that scripture right there, Revelation 4:5. He made that statement based on that scripture, what Jeffersonville needs. And we say it, you know, not just Jeffersonville, but even West Palm Beach, you know, wherever the Bride of Christ, we need thousands of live voices thundering out in sweetness and humility. Amen. Also here, Revelation 5 and 6. Revelation 5 and 6. This is the last place where it talks about these seven spirits here. And it says this, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Just so that you, just to give you a quick summary, the seven eyes represent the seven messengers, all right? So the seven messengers would also represent the seven spirits of God. When you looked at that scripture, the seven horns actually represent the seven church ages. And the seven church ages would represent those people that are protecting the word of the Lord. They're protecting the word of the Lord. Our lives are protecting the word of the Lord. Amen. All right, so I want to let me see something here. I'd like to read a quote here. This is going to be on page 248, starting at paragraph 5 in your church age book. See here. It says this to begin with. Scroll down just a little bit on that. Yeah, right there. To begin with, we know for certainty that these verses are not teaching a new and contrary doctrine. So the script, the verses that we just went through, Revelation 1, Revelation 3, Revelation 4, Revelation 5, it says, to begin with, we know for certain that these verses are not teaching a new and contrary doctrine to John 4:24, part A, which says God is a or one spirit. God is a spirit. But this is like 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 through 11, wherein we find one spirit manifests himself in nine ways. Praise God. That's the gifts of the spirit. Thus, we know that the seven spirits of God mean it is the one and the same spirit coming forth in a sevenfold way. Now, in Revelation 4, 5, these same seven spirits are called lamps of fire burning before the Lord. Since John always used nothing but Old Testament symbols in the Revelation, we go to the Old Testament and find from Proverbs 20 and verse 27 that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. These seven spirits are found to be associated with man. John the Baptist in John 5:35 was called a burning light, which should actually be translated as burning lamp. Again, in Revelation 5:6, the seven spirits are identified as seven eyes. In Zechariah 4:10, for who hath despised the day of small things, for they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord. It is very evident that the word they refers to men. Thus we see that the eyes of the Lord in this instance are men. Of course, they will be anointed men, full of the Holy Ghost, for God's ministries are not in the power of men, but of the Holy Ghost. Putting our scriptural discoveries together, it is evident that the seven spirits of God refer to the continuous ministry of the same Holy Spirit in the lives of seven men with whom God identifies himself very closely. They are his eyes, they are his lamps. Who these seven men are can easily be seen because the next phrase calls them the seven stars, which are already known to us as the seven messengers to the seven ages. How beautiful that is. See, the star was meant to reflect light at night, for the sun has gone, just so the messenger typified as a star to each age was to reflect the light of the sun. They all did this by the Holy Spirit. All right, we'll stop there. So what we got here, we'll go back to our slide. I brought out that scripture there on the slide where it says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord searching all the inner depths of his heart. Brother Branham just made it very clear. Let's see here. You're going to have to click next for a minute here. He made it very clear on this, that putting our scriptural discoveries together is evident that the seven spirits of God refer to the continuous ministry of the same Holy Spirit in the lives of seven men with whom God identifies himself very closely. So when we look at the seven spirits there, according to Revelation 3:1, or even the other scriptures that you looked at, that we looked at in the book of Revelation, when we talk about the seven spirits of God, we're talking about one continuous spirit that anointed seven different men for seven different generations or seven different church ages. But it was the same spirit anointing each one, the same Holy Spirit anointing each one of them to get the job done for that age. Gave them a ministry that was, I have to use it this way, gave them a ministry that far surpassed the other ministries in their day. Amen. In Brother Branham's case, he had a ministry that, yes, there were many other people out praying for the sick, many people doing a lot of things. But I tell you what, when it came to, you know, he's calling out things in people's lives. My, never been to this city before, don't know anything about it, never even been to this country before. Let's be spot on with what he was saying. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. I was listening to a tape today and just listening to him, you know, just standing there talking to the sister and say, now, if I told you something else about yourself, would that give you a little bit more confidence in what I'm saying? He told her what was wrong with her. And then he said, would that give you a little bit more confidence? Then after he told her what was wrong with her, he kept talking. Then he said, now, what's wrong with you? He asked her what's wrong with her. Because what he was trying to get her to see, it's not me telling you. It's the Holy Spirit telling you through me, right? I mean, but here he said, that's right, you got stomach trouble. You got stomach trouble, something like that. Then he just kept talking to her. Then he, you know, told her about how she was praying for a loved one and all these other things. Like, how would he be able to see that? And then one person after the next person come through the line. And so that ministry was at a different level. It was at a totally different level. And if we can't recognize God in that, something wrong. We missing it somewhere. I'm sorry. It was too many right. Even if one brother even showed me a quote where Brother Branham got one of them wrong. He got one of them wrong. And but what had happened? I think he called a person last name. Their last name was I think their last name was Strong, but he used a different name because what he saw in the vision was a person with a muscle. And so he said, your last name is this, but it should have been Strong or something along those lines. And I say, brother, I'm sorry. I still believe, you know. I mean, because ain't nobody else seeing no vision with nobody, no nothing like that. Didn't have to turn around, interpret what that vision is saying, then tell the person. I'm sorry, I still believe. You know, no matter what people try to bring up or produce, it's just, I see too much God in it to deny that this was God. I see too much God in it, right? We had a genuine prophet church, and like I'm telling you, these seven stars, these seven ministries, seven spirits, it was the same Spirit of God in seven different men, but God anointed them especially for that age in which they were living, especially for that age. He had very specific purpose for doing so. All right, let's go on to this next. So notice that the seven stars or the seven spirits is in his hand. I want to kind of bring that out right here. These seven stars are in his hand. And the other thing I want you to see is Jesus' hand that's holding the stars. It's Jesus. Jesus is behind this. You can't tell Jesus who he can use and who he can't use. You can't tell that to Jesus. They are in his hand. If these pictures are kind of faded here, but actually this is a picture of Paul, Irenaeus, and all the different messengers all the way up to, Brother Branham here. But these are the seven messengers. Just kind of showing, depicting what, you know, what this whole thing was all about. The seven stars, the seven spirits are in his hand. And you've noticed the hand means that it signifies the power and authority of God. They have the power and authority of God. If you all remember Paul, when he was talking on marriage and divorce, Paul made the comment. He said, this is not the Lord, but I. There in the book of Corinthians, he said, this is not the Lord, but I. Now, do you realize that God allowed that man to put his "but I" in the scripture for us to base our faith on? When we talk about somebody got the power and authority of God, God stands behind that "but I." And don't let that throw you off, because all the way back in the Old Testament with the prophet Samuel, there's a scripture that actually said, as a prophet, any person that God called as a prophet, God would not let one word from that prophet's mouth fall to the ground. Everything that the prophet said, God honored it. Oh, my. God honors it. We're going to have to honor it. Now, if God gave Paul that kind of authority that he could put it in the scripture. Now, remember when Brother Branham talking about marriage and divorce, and he comes down off the mountain and said, God gave me a word for the people. That's authority, y'all. This man had people that he hadn't even, that weren't even on the earth yet, that would be, he'd be responsible for what he said and what they would pick up off that tape. Church, that's some authority, right? The hand signified the power and the authority of God. You know, and when Brother Branham made those comments there and said, you know, I'm just telling you, go and sin no more and teach your kids never to do anything like this. He said, some of y'all in these conditions because you weren't taught. He said, but you teach your kids never to do nothing like this. That was something, that was, he said, God, just like God gave Paul the ability to say something in his day, he gave Moses the ability to say something in his day, God has given me the same ability to say something to my people in my day. Power and authority of God. Oh, my. Listen, the gospel is preached by the authority of God in the power of the Spirit. So these men were all empowered by the Holy Ghost, and they all stood up to the world. You know, you can't help but see that in Luther's ministry. Man, he stood up against the Catholic Church. And I believe every one of those, Paul standing up against what the Jews were doing in that day and how they rejected Christ, he stood up against it. So you're going to always find that these ministers, they'll stand up against the world. Elijah in his day stood up against Jezebel, right? So the same spirit today that will be upon Brother Branham will stand up against denominational Jezebel. Praise the Lord. They were sent or authorized by God, not by self or other men. They were sent or authorized by God, not by self or other men. If you, again, you go back and read Brother Branham's life, you know that it was an angel Lord that called him and got him to do what he was doing. He would try to run. Even when he tried to kill himself, God would not allow it. God would not allow it. Multiple times he tried to kill himself, but God would not allow it. He belonged to God. His life was in the hand of Jesus. And can I tell you something? Your life is also in the hand of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Listen, organization is death. Organization is death. If it's any church that's organized, I can speak even in the message. I have seen people try to organize, and I've watched it die. People have tried to build their own little kingdoms, their own little, you know, programs that they had, different people following it, and I mean, arranged certain ministers. I've watched all that, and I've watched it come to a, it just dies, breaks up, falls apart. It just, nothing comes out of it. Organization is death. It just can't be any other way. If the world takes over, the spirit departs. If the world takes over, the spirit departs. Now here, this quote says, the scripture says, yet in a little while, Jesus says, this is John 14:19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Because I live, ye shall live also. Now I want to, I'm going to bring out a little quote here on this, but then I want to go to our church age book and read something else. And this is a quote from the message, Jehovah Jireh. It says, a little while and the world seeth me no more. The world there, the Greek word cosmos, which means world order, sees me no more. Yet ye shall see me, for I being a personal pronoun, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world, making Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He remains. He raised from the dead. The world, the unbeliever, won't see me. They won't recognize it, but the believer will recognize him because he's the same Jesus that he always was. He hasn't changed, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let's pick up this quote out of a Church Age book, page 251. In the Church Age book, there's something here that Brother Branham brought to us that we want to get this through. So page 251 in the Church Age book. It says this. Says, now they had what the world could not have. Jesus said that when he went away, he would send his spirit, which the world could not receive. That is right. The world or world systems could not receive him. That is what organization is. It is world system. Show me a world system, church, that is full of the Holy Ghost. I want to see it. If you can show me such a church, you have found a mistake in the word. No, sir, not one of these messengers was organized. Either they were put out or got out. Now, what a statement that's made there. They were either put out or got out because they were convicted of the sin of organization. How can the Holy Spirit possibly be in organization when it is organization that takes the place of the Spirit and denominations take the place of the Word? Remember, organization is death. It just can't be any other way. If the world takes over, the Spirit departs. I know that that statement that he made there, that either people were put out or they got out. You remember in the when Brother Branham was coming up and they in the Baptist church, and they wanted him to, I think, ordain a woman minister. And he said, no, I can't do it because I don't see that in the scripture. And his pastor told him, say, either he's going to do it or he's going to lose his license. He said, I don't mind giving you my license right now, because I don't see that in scripture. These, you see the same spirit that was in Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the Catholic Church door. He got out. He got out. Right. When they got convicted by what they saw in the word, they left the organization alone and they stayed with the word of God. So either you're going to get put out or you're going to get out. Amen. Amen. I am a personal witness. Either you're going to get put out or you're going to get out. I'm a personal witness. If you're not going along with what they're doing, you're going to get put out or you're going to get out. One or the other. Amen. Many a days I would come home ready to get out. Many a days. But eventually I was just put out. Amen. I'm a personal witness. I'm going to tell you, I tell you, anybody standing for this, for the truth, standing for this word, you watch. You're going to come to that same spot where you're going to either get put out or you're going to get out on your own. You get out because you just can't take no more of it. You see all the different things that's going on. It's like, this is not of God. I cannot take any more of it. Organization typically breeds that. You see where the Spirit of God has actually been moved out. Or, people just, how would I say it? It's a good act that people can put on. Pharisees, actors, they can act like they love you. They can act like, they can act like Christians to, my God, it's a big act. But you stay around long enough, you're going to realize ain't nothing to this. Ain't nothing to this. These people will do you as, my God, that do you think the world will do you bad? Sometimes the church can do you worse. Amen. And we'll never even apologize about it. Praise the Lord, church. It ain't nothing but the truth. I tell you what, you stick around long enough, just like these messengers, I believe any seed of God will see within organization, you either get put out or you're going to get out because of how different you are. Amen. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. We can't help but be different. Amen. All right, let's go on a little further. So, this is a statement that Brother Branham made. Says, so we see that the seven spirits actually refer to the one Spirit of God working out the will and the word of God in different generations. When we're talking about the seven spirits of God, that's the salutation of the Sardesian church age. It says, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. So when we're talking about the seven spirits of God, it's one spirit working out the will of God and the word of God in different generations. Brother Branham gives a type of this in our reading, and he talked about how we can look at the spirit of Elijah. It was the same spirit, but manifested five different times in the scripture, for different generations. Oh, my. I was having lunch this week with Brother George Smith, Brother Branham's son-in-law. And as we were sitting there talking, he told me when he went to Israel a couple times. You know, he went over and he had a particular tour guide that would just kind of take them around. And this guide, he began to look at the group that was with Brother George. He noticed that the way that they were dressed and just different things about them, how they conducted and carried themselves. And so he just was just looking at them, and he said, you know, usually different groups come over, they try to baptize me in the Jordan River, and they try to, you know, get me to do this and get me to do that. They got all kind of beliefs, you know, and they're trying to convert me. You know, he's a Jew living there in Israel, but they're trying to convert me. I'm just here trying to give people a tour, you know, but they're trying to convert me. And he said, now I look at all these groups. He said, now he gave everybody instructions that, you know, you go do this, you go do that. Your room is over here. Your room is over there. He said, but you, he pointed at Brother George. He said, you come with me. And he said, I've been watching y'all. He said, I watched all these other groups, but I've been watching. He said, now tell me what's different about y'all. What's going on about y'all? He said, I want to know, because I know it's something different about you. And Brother George said, now, you know, I really don't know how to answer. He said, no, I know it's something different about you. Tell me what's going on. He said, okay, I'll tell you what. He said, Brother George said he noticed as he went into some of the Jewish homes, they would have dinner or like a feast or something like that. And say, in every home, they always had one empty chair. And that empty chair, they would leave there while they had their meal. And then at a certain time of the meal, the oldest boy would actually get up, leave the table, and go open the front door of the home. And the reason that that boy would do that, because they had not just a tradition, but they had a belief that Elijah was going to come. So they had an open chair waiting for Elijah. This is what they were doing. So Brother George took him back to that, you know, and he said, now you know how y'all waiting on Elijah? He said, well, y'all was promised four. The spirit of Elijah is supposed to come to y'all four times, but it's supposed to come to us once as Gentiles. And he's saying it's already come and gone. And he's saying it happened to be my father-in-law. So that's what makes us different. We were both waiting on Elijah. He said, but Elijah's already come to us and already come and gone. And he said, he happened to be my father-in-law. I said, okay, I need some more information about this. He said, I didn't even know nothing about four comings of Elijah. So that Jewish man began to look at that and look at that. And as Brother George was leaving, he said, you got any more information I can have? He said, yeah. Had an MP3 player and gave it to him, Brother Branham's message on it. And that Jewish man is sitting over in Israel listening to the prophet's message. And he heard, Brother George set the tape up at a certain spot where Brother Branham was actually given a description of what certain places in Israel looked like. And as he was given the description on the tape, this man heard it, and he asked Brother George, he said, has this man ever been here to Israel before? He said, because he's describing exactly the way it's supposed to be. Now, he said he'd never been here. He said he's telling exactly what this place looks like, and he never went one day in his life. Vision, preaching by vision. Brother George was just, you know, blown away. And this man is like 80 years old now, and he's still doing tours. I pray that I get a chance to go on a tour with him, you know. But he's just been absolutely moved, you know, by this message. So what we see here, when we talk about the seven spirits of God, according to Revelation 3:1, we can see the same thing happen with the spirit of Elijah. If you notice there, that's a picture of Elijah being caught up by the chariots, you know, the horse chariot of fire, and there he's throwing his mantle back down to Elisha. Because remember, Elisha asked, what do you want? Elijah asked, what do you want? Say, I want a double portion of your spirit. That's what he asked for, a double portion of your spirit. He said, that's a hard thing. He said, but nevertheless, if you see me when I go, you'll get a double portion of my spirit. If you go back in scripture, you'll see Elijah did 8 miracles. Elisha did 16 miracles. He had a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Amen. Well, that same spirit was promised. John the Baptist was also supposed to have that same spirit, and we'll pick this up in scripture. I'll give you the scriptures, but John the Baptist was supposed to have that same spirit, and actually You all turn in your Bible to Luke 1:17. Luke 1:17 says this. Since we got our Bibles open, let's just start at verse 13. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." Now, you know, when I read that for my own self, remember Brother Branham couldn't drink wine, strong drink? The angel told him, don't defile himself in any way, don't do that. Well, that wasn't no odd voice. That was a scriptural voice. John was told the exact same thing, right? He couldn't drink wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Listen here, verse 17, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So John the Baptist was supposed to have that spirit on him, the spirit of Elijah. So when we talk about the seven spirits of God, it's the same spirit working out God's will and actually fulfilling God's work for that generation. It's the same thing that happened with the spirit of Elijah that came at different times here according to Scripture. It came upon Elijah, it came upon Elisha. Now the third time we find it on John the Baptist. Well, there's a promise here. One day, that same spirit identified by the same manner of ministry will come upon a man for the end of the Gentile church age. Well, we found that to be William Branham. And that's Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And I just gave you Luke 1:17. Let's go to Malachi 4. Very familiar scriptures that we are very familiar with. Like I could tell you, when I was in, I was raised Baptist. I cannot remember one. We went to church all the time. But I cannot remember one service where the pastor ever read from the book of Malachi. Maybe to talk about tithe. Maybe. Everybody go to Malachi 3, but if they just go over one more chapter, there's a promise there that God put in Scripture that would be very helpful for us to recognize where we are today. Here in verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet." This is a promise from God. "I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, we know that this is specifically talking about end time. It's an end time scripture because John the Baptist ministry did not come before the dreadful day of the Lord. All right. But this would be for the second coming of the Lord. And notice also in verse 6 says that he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. That's exactly what John did. And that's what Luke 1:17 said he did. However, it goes on to say this, and the heart of the children to their fathers. It didn't say John did that. It didn't say that according to Luke 1:17. So that was left for this end time. That portion of Scripture had to be fulfilled in the end time before the second coming of Christ. And we have identified William Branham as the person that fulfilled that. If the Scripture identified John the Baptist, and we can call his name and show that John the Baptist did that, we don't have to be afraid to call Brother Branham's name because his ministry also fulfilled these things. Amen. Listen, it says this, "The heart of the Lord, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." That is another coming of the spirit of Elijah. And the fifth coming is right here in this, in the two witnesses. And it's actually Elijah coming back himself. It's not just the spirit of Elijah, but it's Elijah coming himself. That's why you see on the picture here, Elijah was caught up like a rapture took place for Elijah, but God preserved him for he's coming back for a greater work at a greater time. And that's after the rapture of the Gentile bride. Then God begins to deal with the Jews. You find that in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 3 through 6. Now, when you go and look at Revelation 11, verse 3 through 6, you will not see the name Elijah. You won't see that. It's not there. And there's many people still debating as to who are the two witnesses. Some say Enoch and Elijah. Some say Moses and Enoch. They got all kind of things. But the way that you're able to tell who the two witnesses are, you can look at their ministries. And their ministries tell you what their names are. Glory to God. Amen. And all you got to do is trace it back in Scripture. You see what Elijah did. You see what Moses did. Now you got a clear picture as to who the two witnesses are. So when we talk about the seven spirits of God, if you want clarity on that, you know, think about the five comings of the spirit of Elijah. It was the same spirit anointing men at different times for a very specific work. Guess what? The same thing with the seven spirits of God. It was the same spirit of God anointing seven different men at seven different times for a very specific work that the Lord needed done. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. This quote says, yes, the spirit is not seven spirits, but one. He will always be the same and act the same, and the seven messengers will have the same spirit and teach the same word and have the same power. And if the church is the true church, it will have the very same spirit and word and acts of power that they had at Pentecost. By experience, it will be a Pentecostal church. And there will be tongues. I'm saying amen to that. There will be tongues and interpretation and prophecy and healings. Now we've already seen the healing part. We've seen that, and we've seen different ones that were speaking tongues. We've seen interpretation. We've had that happen here. The one thing that I would say is that I feel like if we would just allow the Lord to use us, it might happen a little bit more. Amen. But it has happened. You just want to see it. You know, God, you welcome to come here anytime. Every time we get together, you're welcome to come in here, right? We just want to see that. We just want God to have his way in this place. That's all I want. Amen. Amen. By experience, it will be a Pentecostal church, and there will be tongues and interpretation and prophecy and healings. God will be in the midst of her, and God will declare himself in the midst of her as he always has. Hallelujah. And she will be unorganized. Don't forget that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on. A couple more slides here, and we'll be bringing this to a close. In this, let's see here. Yeah, I do have a quote that I want to read on this particular slide. This is page 251, paragraph 3 in your Church Age book. Page 251, paragraph 3 on this slide. The prophet says this. He says, now we can see that Jesus Christ is revealing himself through the ages by his spirit in the messengers. They are as Moses was to the children of Israel. As he had the revelation for his day, so each messenger had God's revelation and ministry for that day. Thus, when we see that the messengers are in his hand, we see the Lord identifying himself with these men and granting them his power. It is not enough that he has associated himself with the whole church, which we saw when he was seen standing amongst the seven golden lampstands. Nor is it enough that we see the fivefold ministry of Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. For in each age, the church goes astray. And it is not just the laity, but the clergy group. Shepherds are wrong as well as sheep. Now, that's a powerful statement. Shepherds are wrong as well as sheep. Then God brings himself on the scene as the chief shepherd in the ministries of these seven men to lead his people back to the truth and the abundant power of that truth. That was that was really the sole purpose of having these seven spirits released at different times. It was God anointing that man with the ministry to bring the people back to the truth of the word of God. That was the whole purpose. It was not for people to exalt the man. It was God using the man to bring the people back to the truth. See, and that's what Malachi 4 said. It would turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. What does that mean? It's turning our hearts back to the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, God is in his people, all of his people. For if any man has not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Can I just interject something? I'm going to move on here in a second. Even when in a church, when we try to bring correction, a lot of times people don't want to hear what the prophet said. They'll say, don't show me what the prophet said. Just show me what the Bible said. Well, I'm going to show you what both of them say, right? Because the prophet actually gave you the interpretation of what the Bible said so that you'll be very clear as to what God expects. And again, that wasn't to try to, the ministry don't use that in order to try to force people into a certain, that's not what it's all about. But the prophet brought clarity so that we would know what God was thinking about these things. A lot of things that we just didn't know what God was thinking. That's why we got so many different denominations. Everybody had a different thought on that scripture. But when a prophet gives you, this is what God was really saying. That's why we say, let's quote what the prophet said. Stay with what the prophet said. Amen. Listen, when Moses left the scene, Joshua was quoting what Moses said. Joshua was saying exactly what Moses said. He wasn't changing it because God had vindicated Moses. And the same God that vindicated Moses vindicated William Branham today. And, Joshua wasn't exalting Moses. That wasn't it. Just like we're not exalting Brother Branham, but when you got clarity as to what God has done in this hour, then your heart is open to just receive the word. Amen. Listen. All of his people, for if any man is not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his, and he is the word. That would be the word recognizing the people, but he has placed a special leadership in these men of his own choosing, and through the determined counsel of his own will, they appear once in each age. It is the same spirit in them. What a far cry is this from the heresy of Rome. They have a man of their own choosing, one after the other, none producing the power of God, none abiding in the word of God, each one different from the one before him and adding what he desires as though he were God. God is not in it, but he is in his messengers, and he who would have the fullness of God would follow the messengers as the messenger is a follower of the Lord by his word. Let me say that again. But he is in his messenger, and he who would have the fullness of God, that means if you want the fullness of God, you will follow the messenger as the messenger is a follower of the Lord by his word. There's many people trying to get the fullness of God, but trying to exclude the prophet. Not going to happen. Doesn't matter how much fasting they do, how much praying they do, if they're going to exclude the prophet's message, they'll never get to the depths of God. Amen. Let's go back to that slide. Remember, he placed a special leadership in these men of his own choosing, and through the determined counsel of his own will, they appear once in each age. It is the same spirit in them. And I want to just make sure it appears once. Anybody trying to get you to believe in an eighth messenger, somebody after Brother Branham as a messenger, that's unscriptural. Unscriptural. All right. So he said this is a far cry from the Roman heresy. And if you just look at that, that's Pope Francis on the left and the retired Pope Benedict, I believe the 16th, they were embracing during a ceremony. And what Brother Branham just told us in that quote is that, they don't even agree with each other. They change things. After the next pope come in, he changed something that he don't agree with the pope before him. They treat it as if they were God himself. And some of the things that they've come up with have actually been against the Bible. Some things they tell you to accept. We ought to be open and accept this. No, the Bible don't say we're supposed to be open and accept that. Now, the pope might say it, but God didn't say it. We're going to stay with what God said. Listen. They have a man of their own choosing, one after the other, none producing the power of God, none abiding in the word of God, each one different from one before him, and adding what he desires as though he were God. God is not in it. All right. So our last one for tonight. I just wanted to bring this out, the repudiated, and I put messenger versus, as well as messengers. They've always been repudiated. The Bible said in Revelation 3:1, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. We are certainly living in a day, a time, where you hear minister after minister. You know, we just had a preacher right here Sunday from Jamaica, a small island like Jamaica, and people still trying to find a way to repudiate the message, right? There's a spirit that has been released in the land today where people are trying to repudiate the message. Now, the way that they repudiate it is they try to point out flaws in the messenger. And if I can point out flaws in the messenger, then I don't have to receive the message, right, that's coming from the messenger. So they're constantly looking for flaws. Look, okay, this was wrong. Like one brother said that he couldn't find 16 men that fell off the bridge, so he thought the whole story was a lie. Well, he started to do some research, and I think he's found two or three people that were, you know, that died on that bridge. He just haven't found 16, but he found two or three. Like, okay, I guess if you keep doing your research, you're probably going to find all 16. But I don't need to find the 16 people when all the other visions have come to pass, right? And not only that, that happened 1930-something. They did not have the ability to hold information the way that we hold information today. They just didn't have it, right? And one brother told me to say, it takes faith for you to believe that Moses went up into the mountain. There's a burning bush, and he heard from God and, you know, and went back to, you know, to deliver the children of Israel. How you know that bush was on fire? How you know? Was there anybody else there with Moses, right? Was there any, was Google there? Google was not there. How do we know that that happened with Moses? You know what? You got to take what Moses said by faith. If you got to take what Moses said by faith, and he was a prophet, why can't you take what Brother Branham said by faith? Amen. But it's repudiated in so many ways. People are trying to repudiate it and all, trying to find all kind of, all, anything they can find. I think they're wasting a lot of time. Remember this. God used Abraham, and he lied. Abraham was a liar. You all remember when he went down there and told that man that that was his sister? That the Bible tell us that. Then he went down there and told, this is my sister. And the man took her, Abimelech took her for a wife. And God had to come down on the scene and say, don't you touch that man's wife. He said, well, he told me that's his sister. I know what he told you. I want you to still go to him and have him pray for you. Lord, you want me to have the liar pray for me? Yes, but God didn't call Abraham a liar. God said, I want you to go have him pray for you because he's my prophet. So it's not what we think. It's what God thinks. God said Abraham was his prophet even after he had bold-faced lie. He was a prophet. Look at this. Moses rebel, but God still used him. And I want something else that I got here about Moses. Moses killed, yet he gave us a commandment, thou shalt not kill. And we follow it. But Moses did kill. So you can't, this Bible blow your mind, right? God still expects you to follow that word. Look, Jonah disobeyed, but he was still God's prophet. In the belly of the whale, he was still God's prophet. Samson, sin, inside a harlot's house. Shouldn't have been there. Philistines surround him. He come out the harlot's house, picked up their gates, and took them up the hill. He was still anointed by God. Even to the point where he lost his eyesight and everything else, dealing with Delilah. He lost his eyesight. He had to suffer from some of the stuff that he did. But when he prayed, Lord, once more, he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. David, still God's king, but he murdered. And, I mean, had that man, took that man's wife, got her pregnant, and then had him deliver his own death sentence to Joab. What a man. But he was still God's king. And not only that, God said, man after my own heart. Lord, have mercy.
Look at this.
God used Joshua, God used Joseph, but the key thing I want you to remember, those with severe blemishes far outnumber those whose history seemed to be perfect, all were and are his. It's not what we think, it's what God thinks. Man, I thank God. You look at some of the histories of some of these people that we have here, and if God can use them, my, you ought to be encouraged. We all ought to be encouraged. God can use us too. Man, to know that we, man, that he loves us just that much, that he, like the song said, he could have let me drown, but instead he took me in. Man, I'm grateful. I'm just absolutely grateful. Thank God for his love, his kindness. And I tell you what, I'm not going to frustrate that grace. But I'm my everyday living, I just want to show him how much I appreciate how much he's done for me. Next week, we encourage you to read pages 252 through 257 in your church age book, page 252 through 257. We'll start going over the denunciation part of the Sardesian church age, and I believe we'll get even some more nuggets out of that. Let's pray, amen, tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for truth that has been given to us. Thank you, God, for sending a prophet to help us to understand these things here in the book of Revelation as we go through them. And as we can just follow the pattern, we can see clearly exactly what it is that you want us to see. And like you said, the world won't see me. They won't know. They won't understand. They're too organized. They'll just never understand. But see, we will see you. We'll know you. Because the same thing that you did while you were here on the earth, God, and the same way that you manifest yourself through the seven spirits of God, is the same way you're manifesting yourself through the church today. So, God, we thank you that we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking in this hour. Bless us, God, and our understanding of your word. Help us to walk in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.